Welcome to Creative Mind Living, a podcast for people interested in personal growth based on the principles of Carl Jung, neuroscience, and Eastern philosophies. We are your hosts, Deborah Maldonado
and Dr. Rob Maldonado,
founders of Creative Mind Coaching. So today's episode is about the dilemma we face between love and work. And before we get into the topic, I wanted to mention that we had a visitor this week visiting us. My niece from Florida came.
That's right.
She's 23 years old, or going to be 23. And it's so interesting. I was watching her and listening to her talk about her business and her desires to travel the world and to do all these things and be self-employed, to be an entrepreneur. And when I was 23, all I thought about was getting married and having babies. So it was really interesting that change generationally, how right now I think more women are really looking to have a business, to make a mark in their career, and not when I was in the 80s thinking about just wanting a baby, wanting a family. So I think the generations have changed over the years. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And the old saying that youth is wasted on the young, I don't think it applies anymore. I think young people are doing incredible things now. It's a different world, different culture. And it's much more fluid now. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to be talking about kind of the stages that we often go through, and those stages aren't as clearly defined as they used to be, let's say.
Yeah, I think a lot has changed. And so we worked for many years with a lot of single women, and one of the big obstacles that they experienced was this dilemma between love and work. Mm-hmm. Do I pursue a career first and then look for love, or do I find love and then I'll focus on starting my business and just keep my corporate job that I really can't stand, but I just really want to focus on love right now. Can we have it all? Can we be completely fulfilled in love and work? And that's the question we're going to answer today.
And Eric Erickson, the psychologist, is going to help us a little bit by providing a couple of stages that he talked about. First one was intimacy versus isolation, which he thought about as happening from around 17, 18, 19 to about 40 or so.
So when we talk about love and relationships, we're dealing with this intimacy versus isolation stage.
Yeah, and he saw it as a conflict or as a question that you have to answer around that time. And obviously it's a big span of time from the time you're, a teenager to the time you're 40, but within that time frame, that's when we're kind of asking that question, am I going to live in a relationship or am I going to be alone or isolated?
And isolated didn't have to be a bad thing. It could be independent.
Especially if it's a choice.
Yes.
I think, as coaches, we often kind of tell our clients that there's no right or wrong way to be. It's simply, is it a choice for you or are you compelled or conditioned to be that way? And then the second stage, which really goes from 40 onward now, is this idea of generativity versus stagnation. And again, he saw it as a conflict in the question of work. Who am I as an individual? How do I contribute to society? What is my identity, a legacy as a productive human being?
And so the generativity means that we're constantly growing, and stagnation is more of a stuck, doing the same thing over and over. And again, it's about choice. It's about making it conscious.
Yeah, absolutely. And today we have so many different choices now. We were talking about these digital nomads mm-hmm. who travel around the world mm-hmm. and post their stuff on Instagram all the mm-hmm. time. We see them. And when we go to Europe and different cities, we see that there's people carrying their laptops around mm-hmm. and working in coffee houses. Mm-hmm. And they might be doing work with somebody in San Francisco or Tokyo or London.
They could work anywhere they want. They're not stuck in a cubicle.
Doing their projects, mm-hmm. traveling the world, great lifestyle, if you're into that. And if you're in that stage of life, obviously. Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the first one, which love, which is the intimacy versus isolation question. And I like independence versus isolation, but it can feel isolating if you are wanting to a relationship. If you are feeling alone, feeling isolated, and you want that partner to connect with.
Absolutely. And I think, from Erickson's point of view, and he came out of that whole culture of therapy and psychoanalysis and mm-hmm. that kind of those kind of ideas at that time, so they saw it as you have to solve this problem mm-hmm. right somehow. You have to come to terms with it. Otherwise, if you don't solve it successfully for yourself, if you don't answer the question successfully, then that's when you have isolation. Mm-hmm. So we see it more as perhaps a choice, like we're talking about. So
between the ages of 17 and 40, we're wrestling with this question. We get out of high school, we go to college, we are thinking, should I get married? Should I do the career route? What should I do? But what we're saying is that a lot of these choices are not made consciously. We think we're choosing our path, but they're coming from our conditioning.
Big time, we know from the Creative Mind Method that we use in our coaching that a lot of people are not conscious of the choices they're making. Mm-hmm. The mind is making the choices for them mm-hmm. or giving them a sense of a limited sense of what's possible for them in relationships. They might be afraid of intimacy, or they might think, well, there's no good people. Mm-hmm. I keep running into these people that are not a good fit for me. Mm-hmm. But they don't understand that their mind is essentially creating a lot of those scenarios for them.
Yeah, it's so interesting because so many of the women I work with over the years, men too, that tell me they want a relationship and they don't realize that they're choosing isolation unconsciously. And that was the case for me as well, that no matter how much I wanted intimacy, the default was isolation. And it was all unconsciously because I wanted to be in control. And when you're intimate with someone, you have to give up some sense of control. And the ego doesn't like that. And so it leads to shadow relationships. And how would you define a shadow relationship? It's not like a dark figure in the corner waiting for you.
Right. It's not as ominous as it sounds. It simply means that you really haven't made a conscious choice in relationship, that you're playing out a pattern mm-hmm. Unconsciously from your conditioning. Now, not all conditioning is bad. Obviously, if we've had great role models and we have great self-esteem and all that good stuff, great social support and friends and peers that are kind of doing what we want to be doing, then it works out great. And, mm-hmm. and some people say, why do I need therapy or coaching or anything? I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I'm living the kind of relationships that I want to live. But most of us, of course, don't have all those things lined up. And so we end up playing family patterns that, to say the least, dysfunctional, let's mm-hmm. say. But the good news is that we can change those things as we do shadow work. Mm-hmm. We can become conscious of the unconscious patterns. Mm-hmm. And by becoming conscious of them, make real choices in relationships.
Are you passionate about personal development and empowering others? and want to turn that passion into a new career, you can become a highly trained coach in our Creative Mind Life Coach Training Program. The next class begins soon, so visit us at creativemindmethod.com to find out more and schedule your free consultation. So how would someone know if they are in conflict with the intimacy versus isolation?
I would say that they're not happy in the way their relationship life has turned out. And and relationships, not only romantic relationships, but in general, the way they relate to their coworkers, their peers, their friends, their families, they don't feel connected. They don't feel a part of a community or even a part of a couple.
Even in a relationship, don't you think that a lot of people are in relationships long term that have lost that love and feeling, that intimacy, and they are just kind of going through the motions? They're making small talk with their partner. They're not really growing together. They're just sort of utilitarian with each other. So that's also possible too. Doesn't necessarily mean you're alone. You could feel very alone inside of a relationship if it's not intimate.
Yeah, I think what happens today is so much pressure is put on the relationship to provide all that sense of community and support that we used to get from a real community. And now you have two people in an apartment or a house that don't have much going on beyond that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting too, is that people, the single people I've worked with and myself included, I was looking for that one person to be everything. And there was one piece missing and it's like, oh, no, they don't have this piece and to play all these roles. And the relationship isn't supposed to basically fill a hole inside of your life. It's supposed to enhance your life. And I think that's the problem with why people have a hard time finding the right person. Yeah. And again, it's the patterns that we're drawn to from our past that keep repeating over and over until we make them conscious. Now, the key is just to make them conscious and work with our fear of why are we afraid of intimacy? What is going on emotionally that's stopping us from really opening up? What's the fear around that?
Yeah. It is a type of taking stock of where you're at, what the situation is, where you come from, and asking that question, do I really want to live in a great relationship and create one, or am I okay alone? Mm-hmm. And if it's a decision, like we were saying, that's fine. You know, but if you're playing out unconscious patterns, then you really want to consider, let's say, a coaching program where you're able to transform those patterns.
And you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah, it's too difficult to do it by yourself because you're not able to really be honest in looking at yourself. You know, it's like the eye can't see itself.
Yes.
but that's the good news, is that we know now how to transform those patterns. You know,
and then we can make it a choice to. And when I think the first step is really to know that you can have a choice, that it's not about fate. It's not about being in the right city or finding the right dating app or that chance meeting. It's about that you on some level are choosing the relationship circumstance you're in now. And if you can choose that and accept that it's your choice, you can change it. And that's the key. So let's move on to work.
Yes. The second big question in middle adulthood, which is, you know, I mean, obviously most of us begin to work either right out of high school or after college sometime. And we're working, we're doing stuff. But around the age of 35 to 40, we start to get serious about who am I as a productive human being and, you know, what do I want to do seriously about my work life.
And so a lot of times either women have either had children and the kids are in, you know, growing up and they're thinking, okay, I want to go back into the workforce or I want to do something with my career now. Or they never had kids and they said, well, I guess I'm not going to have kids. I better get serious about my career. That's what happened to me. I was thinking, well, I can't just wait around to just wait for family to start. I need to start thinking about what do I want to do? What's my passion? What's my purpose in life? And it happened around 35.
Yeah.
I think that's Jung's age says that when we individuate, when we start to really break away from our old self and start to really have a hunger and discover who we really are.
Yeah, people, we observe this often that don't do the individuation process or kind of the shadow work, what mm-hmm. we call the shadow work, end up in shadow careers. Mm. And what we mean by that is simply that they're doing things they're not really meant to be doing. And we know they're not meant to be doing it because they're not happy in it. It's not their purpose. It doesn't fulfill their need for passion, for purpose. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing these things that we call the shadow career, mm-hmm. that they kind of end up falling into again because of those unconscious patterns that they've been conditioned around.
And they're afraid to make a change. They're afraid to leave the security of the paycheck to start something new, or even just even getting a new job. I've coached with many women who have been with their company for years, and they're like, well, they're very unhappy, but I've been here for 10 years. I can't imagine starting with a new boss and a new company and all those fears that we have about change. But what you were saying before is the whole idea of stagnation and generativity is that if we don't make a change, if we don't listen to our heart and say, do what our heart's desire is, we enter the stagnation zone.
Yeah.
Where we feel that kind of sluggishness, that lack of passion, that when is my retirement, counting over the years, and feeling that it's just a drudgery to make it each week, be getting that depressed feeling on Sunday nights, the dread, Monday morning dread.
Yeah, it's almost a tragedy when people are successful at their shadow careers.
Yeah.
Because then it's really difficult for them to make the change because...
Mm. And you're thinking financially successful.
Yeah, because they're so comfortable now. Mm-hmm. It's those golden handcuffs. Mm-hmm. Now you're chained to that career that you hate or mm-hmm. or even if you're not inspired by it, right? You're kind of locked into that now. So... For those of you that haven't had that financial success, that's good news.
I know, it's like there's only up. There's only going up.
Yeah, you can make changes still. Mm-hmm. You're still able to say, what can I do with the rest of my life here? And the field is wide open. We know now people are having to really reinvent work and the tools are available. Mm-hmm. The internet has opened up all these new avenues of work and productivity and creativity that they weren't around. Even 10, 15 years ago weren't around. It's an incredibly new and exciting world of work where people get to really define it for themselves.
There were saying in the 90s that all the new technology, the computers and companies... created those cubicle farms, mm-hmm. and instead of like the worker in the factory, the cubicle farm. So it's the same thing. It's a factory, but you just dress nicer and maybe make a little bit more money. Don't get as dirty, but you're still stuck in that rut of churning out the same old, same old. And so when we think about stagnation, what's the tragedy in stagnation?
Well, stagnation refers to the failure to find a way to contribute, right? So you feel like your effort, all that time that you spend at work is not really contributing to society. Mm. And you're not leaving your mark. You're not putting your stamp on this world and saying, I was here, right? I did something. And that for individuals, for us, it feels defeating, right? Mm-hmm. Because you are spending a lot of time and energy at work. And if it's not making a difference, if it's not really fulfilling that passion, it feels like you're wasting your time.
And actually, I think stagnation is almost just like I don't like the word isolation because it's independence, but stagnation to me doesn't feel right because since we're always moving, there's always movement in the world, that we're not really stuck in one place. And when we're in stagnation, we're actually moving backwards. And that's where we start to feel like almost a little depressed or a little loss of motivation. And we get slower and we're aging. So we feel this kind of everything slowing down. And if you stay in that too long, it's hard to remotivate yourself. And generativity is the opposite. That's where you're generating and innovative and creative. And that's really our natural way of being.
Yeah. Yeah. We're the happiest when we're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that flow that people talk about. That's that great feeling of being in the flow.
And when we're living our purpose, and how would you describe purpose for people? Like finding your purpose? In 5 seconds or less.
Right. It's different, obviously, for everyone. But in general, your purpose, your true purpose, your higher purpose is to be able to bring as much of your talents and skills to the forefront and to express that openly.
Mm-hmm.
That is when a human being hits the mark. You know, they find their way of working that expresses their passions,
mm-hmm.
their natural talents and skills.
So a purpose isn't a career, but a purpose is a career can express your purpose. So if your purpose is to inspire others or help the poor, your career could contribute to that purpose, but it doesn't have to be the purpose because you can do it at your purpose. You can do it in many different careers. Yeah. So that's the difference. I think a lot of people are looking for that one way to express their purpose. I have always been a writer. I've always written all the time. And so my purpose is fulfilled writing affirmations or my visualizations, not affirmation, visualizations, writing my book, writing my blog, you know, writing a copy, writing our programs. And so there's a lot of writing that I get to do, and but it's not a career. I'm not a career writer, but I'm expressing my purpose in that. And so what does it look like to have generativity in their purpose is that we're constantly expanding and growing, and we feel that we're, like you said, contributing, but also there's this kind of expansion or like more life coming to us and more being created by us interacting with the world.
Yeah, and there's a sense of caring for the world, like leaving it better than you found it, right? That's when people really feel that they're in that generativity state, that they're contributing to society, to the world, to the next generation as well.
Mm.
They're passing on their wisdom, what they've learned in life. They're not just kind of disappearing into the kind of masses of people and the everyday hustle and bustle of work.
The herd of the world.
Yeah.
I think that most people that approach coaching or come for coaching are in that stagnation phase and they don't know how to get out of it. And part of it is because that we're taught from early age of what is safe, to get a steady paycheck, don't take too many risks, you know, get a good job and stick with it. And we're not conditioned to take risks and to go for our dreams because everyone around you will tell you, I mean, most people don't live their dream life. Everyone around you will tell you, you can't do it. It's going to be hard. Who do you think you are? That type of thing. So we stay stagnated because we don't have that belief. And that's why coaching can really help because it helps you. The coach holds the vision for you until you can hold it for yourself. And it's a beautiful process. They're transmitting your higher vision. You already have a vision. You know you're stagnated and you know you want something different, but the coach can help you. It's almost like a bridge from where you are to where you want to be. And so to wrap up with love and work, the question would be, do I go for my purpose first or do I go for love first? What comes first, the chicken or the egg? And can love contribute to your purpose? And can your purpose contribute to love?
Yeah, I don't think there is a correct sequence to do it now, but certainly you have to answer both questions in a conscious way and make a choice about those things. Otherwise, again, your history, your conditioning, even the genetics and the epigenetic code will determine that for you. And often you will be happy in the choices that you appeared to be making, but that were really made for you by your conditioning. So as you become conscious, you have to answer that question, those two questions. What am I going to do about love, and what am I going to do about work?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're able to come to a satisfactory answer with those two questions, then your life is pretty good. You know, even Freud said it's work and love, the two main things that you have to figure out in life. And if you're doing that, the rest comes easy.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I think that you really should, if you were going to make a choice, pursue your purpose first, because the purpose will show you who you really are. And then the universe knows who to match you up with. But if you don't know who you are, you're going to end up with a crapshoot of who you're showing up with. And of course, not in every case. But in our experience, so many women and men have found love after they found their purpose. Because then they make a choice. They feel more comfortable in the choice they're making because they know where their life is going now. So if you're stuck in the corporate world and you meet someone and they're in the corporate world, and then 5 years down the road, you decide, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to start my own business. Is that person going to fit your life in 5 years? Or are they going to say, no, you can't quit your job. You have to be responsible. And I've seen so many people, you know, that are coaches, they end up getting divorced because they're on this trajectory, new trajectory. They got married in their 20s and their husband is not the person that they are anymore. And so you want to be in that generativity because you are, if you're growing, you're always going to choose a partner who will grow with you. If you're in stagnation, you're going to look for someone who's stagnating along with you so you don't feel guilty about stagnation, or you just feel that security and safety.
Yeah. We have seen couples, though, that support each other and perhaps they've been together for many years and they kind of grow into someone together.
Yes.
Or, you know, they support their personal growth, I guess. And so, yeah, it's not impossible to find love first and then find your purpose. But
if you are looking for a full life, when you look for love, the key question to ask is this person willing to grow with me? If you love personal development, because you're listening to this podcast, you probably do, you're going to want someone who's a passionate about their own development, their own spiritual or professional development or personal development, someone who wants to grow as well. Or you're not going to be happy with someone who is stuck because it will end up be like someone in the mud, a car in the mud that's stuck. And you're going to be stuck in that car with that person. So that's a really great question. So leaving, summing up, love and purpose. Can we have it all? That's the question.
Yes, I think so. I think we can. Mm-hmm. And it helps to think in this stage model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are other models. We just use this as a way to talk about the work and love. But to me, it helped me understand my past history a lot better than to think in one long trajectory of life, you know, just making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Think of each stage of life as new challenges, new questions to answer, reinventing yourself in a way.
So or, 17 to 40 is intimacy or isolation. You have to answer that question, resolve it. Mm-hmm. And then 40 and above, and of course, depends on the individual. And then 40, after 40, it's about generativity and stagnation. And so if you find yourself 40 and single, you get to work on both. If you don't complete the earlier conflict, you bring it with you. until it's resolved. So it's not that, oh, well, I'm over 40 now, I don't have to deal with intimacy and isolation anymore. No, if you haven't resolved it, it comes with you. So now you have two conflicts you're trying to resolve.
Or two opportunities to
absolutely
reinvent yourself.
I like that better. Two opportunities. And so thank you so much for joining us today on Creative Mind Living. And we'll see you next week with another exciting episode. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and let us know how you like our show.
See you next time.
Take care.